Finding this podcast magical? Why not toss a coin to your Witches and a Druid podcast through the Acast supporter feature? It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to show your support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to Three Witches and a Druid Podcast, a Canadian podcast about paganism in today's modern society. And now, Three Witches and the Druid Podcast present Shenka.
She is the goddess of the river. Her wisdom flows from sea to sea. She is the source of my deliverance. In the night she calls to me. Hear her voice upon the dawn. Feel her running wild and free. She promises that we are one. Between what is and what will be. I am the power of transformation. My flowing love caresses you. Eternal dance of new creation. Forever shaping something true. Hear my voice upon the dawn. Feel me running wild and free. I promise you that we are one. Between what is and what will be. Chaos and the fight. Let's hold the moment here forever. Eternal love, eternal light. Hear her voice upon the dawn. feel her running wild and free. She promises that we are one. Between what is and what will be.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Three Witches and a Druid, where we sit around talking about our thoughts and ideas and experiences living as modern-day pagans. I am Margot.
And I am Maeve.
Gwen.
And I'm Brian. So today's topic, we're going to discuss, and this is an older concept with a bit of a newer name to it. So we're going to discuss what we call ritual consent.
And it is something I very much talked about when I worked at Little Mysteries with younger folks or even, you know, more mature people looking to explore a pagan path and wanting to find a teacher or a group or someone to work with. And one of the first things I would always say is if they ever ask you to do anything you are not comfortable with, turn around and walk away.
Yes.
That's not a safe place.
So yeah, this is not a new concept. It just finally has a name.
Yes.
It didn't really have a name in the past. It's a rather broad topic, and all of it is just as important as every other aspect of it. And I don't know how much of this we'll touch upon. But like you just said, if you get approached at a ritual to do stuff you're not comfortable with, walk away. But this includes a wide variety of things, such as possibly invoking a god or a goddess that you're not comfortable with, or bringing nudity into a ritual without that being previously discussed, or bringing in things such as sacrifice or scarification that wasn't previously discussed. The idea is that most of this boils back down to communication. If you want to do something, communicate it.
Yes, even like on a very tiny, small level, whenever I'm with anyone else doing a group ritual, we always like to remind everybody that you are not going to be asked to do anything just sprung upon you. If this is your first public ritual and you're not comfortable, we're not going to ask you to call a quarter. Yeah. You're not going to be put on the spot and asked to do something that you're not prepared for or are not comfortable with. Because what we don't want to do is make anybody uncomfortable or right. Alarm anyone. That certainly is not a way to welcome anyone into our community.
No.
So
I think when doing public rituals, and if you ever decide and never think you can't do a public ritual because you haven't put on one before, you can. You wouldn't probably want to do anything too dramatic. Not that a public ritual can't be dramatic, but, you know, you shouldn't be saying, okay, everybody prick your finger here. We're going to put all the, you know, everybody's going to put their finger in the water with a drop of blood. Just don't be doing that at a public ritual or something like that. Try to keep it very inclusive.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's like, we're not here to judge anybody about anything they want to do in a ritual. Don't sacrifice animals. I'm going to judge you about that.
Yeah, but, totally. Harm none. Remember, harm none.
But if you have something you want to do in a ritual that probably isn't going to pass the social norms, do that privately.
Absolutely.
Do that with a select group of people
who are like-minded.
Exactly.
Who are like-minded. No,
that is not something for a public ritual.
And it still should be talked about, because even when you work with a small group, maybe not everybody's on board for certain things but there's still this conversation beforehand. The idea that you have to surprise people to make it evocative and things like that, No, you really don't. A well-crafted ritual, even if people understand we are going to end up holding hands.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable with that? We are going to dance. Do you have physical whatever? There's all sorts, like we're mentioning extremes, but you know, you can think of people that will be coming that may have anxiety disorders, that sort of thing. Not everybody wants to hug.
No.
Everybody wants to, and those things can be incorporated in a ritual without even thinking about it.
And since COVID, even just, everyone holding hands to spiral dance or something, people aren't keen to.
One thing I will say is that we've had those public rituals in the commons for years, and they always equal out into a big spiral dance because that's what Dom was into, and nothing wrong with that. But one of the great things is he had always said, if you don't want to, just step aside, clap, you can jump,
you can observe,
you don't have to hold hands with anyone in spiral dance. But at the same time, I remember in the past, somebody in a wheelchair participating in the spiral dance, and everyone around them made that work, made it happen for that individual.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if the person wanted to step out, they could step out. That was one of the great things about the public rituals here anyway.
Yeah. And I find too, and I always say this when teaching, if you go to a group and they again ask you to do anything you're not comfortable with, yes, as Margo was saying, leave. But if you get into a group that has a tradition and you're looking to be initiated or study with them, if you're told you have to perform the literal great rite, which is sexual intercourse, in order to be initiated, will you tell them to go screw a goat?
Yeah.
And you leave because people might say, oh, well, it's part of it and it's just the joining and on. People might try to reason it away.
Consenting goats.
Right? But it's like it, people try to, that is part of the whole consent. But, oh, no, you can't get your degree until you do this or or we have to mark you or you have to have a tattoo. And as much as you like to think people are more, advanced and more sensible at times, they're not.
If that is part of your practice, that's okay, but that needs to be communicated from day one.
You can't, be two-thirds, all the way there. Oh, and this is what's going to happen in your initiation, right? And it's like, come again?
Yeah.
It's like, no.
We have a member of the Grove who often jokes that this is the worst sex cult she's ever been a part of. I expected a lot more sex than I'm getting.
And also to go along with the consent, asking questions as well. I'm a huge advocate for if you don't understand what's going on or if you don't understand the point somebody is trying to make when they're teaching, ask questions. And if anyone ever tells you that you are not allowed to have that knowledge, there's another reason.
And the other thing is sometimes, certainly in ritual, and if you're in a ritual that's more public or there's more people there that you're just beginning in a new group or something, it's difficult to stop a ritual mid-ritual. You don't want to ruin that experience for everybody else. So you've got all those social norms, like you're thinking, and you get carried, swept along with it. As people who are offering ritual, allow time before the ritual to kind of give an overview and ask for questions and then check in with people afterwards, of course. But if there is no time made, even if you don't feel comfortable in the large group to speak up in front of a large group, there are going to be people that will identify, you'll be able to easily identify as leaders in that group and go ask them a question before things get started. If you think, ooh, is this going to happen? I kind of get a weird vibe or something. If the space isn't made to ask questions, ask the question before the ritual happens and you feel trapped in it, because a lot of people get carried along and go with something. And these are all extremes, but this still sits in my mind. And this is years ago, very small scale of it. But old members of our community, Shadow Fox and Oceana, who had the radio program opposite Maeve, they hosted an Imbolc ritual at the U. It was inside because February here. And focused around Bridget and telling her story theatrically. It was really beautiful. And at the end, they opened up an opportunity and there was like easily 50 people there. It was well attended for an indoor February ritual yeah. when people don't want to even go out and heat their cars up to drive into it. And there was this opportunity, you know, they at the end of the ritual to dedicate yourself to Bridget. Mm-hmm. Dave and I were the only people, like Bridget was at that time very important to me, but they framed it in a way that you would take her on as your patron. And that has real
implications.
It has real, and people were either drawn into the emotional intensity of it or the peer pressure, because a few went up. And afterwards I said, what the hell? Yeah. And Oceana said to me, she was like, we didn't expect that. Like everybody but Dave and I went forward. And Bridget was already a part of my practice, mm-hmm. but not in the sense of a patron, mm-hmm.
yeah,
but
yeah.
not in that really visceral whatever. It kind of had the feel, and they did not mean it that way, but because of the intensity of the ritual and the group participation, it had that feel of, you know, you witness on social media these big public marriage proposals,
mm.
yeah.
and you're like, oh goodness, like yeah. I hope she really wants to, because you can't say no. You know, mm-hmm. things can get set up and you're drawn into something, and then later you have to crushingly go say, take your ring back.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
you know, they've had cameras come and they've set it up in front of all your friends and family or 200 people or the middle of wherever, and you feel pulled along into something. So again, when you set up a ritual, that idea of surprising, and there's these things about your own bodily autonomy, but also what your declarations don't get tied to an oath or a vow that
you didn't have you the plan of
you weren't prepared
out
for
before yeah. going into it. Yes.
Yeah. Because how many people could have, of that 40 or 50 people, how many people could have sustained that year-long vow to Bridget? And I may be wrong. Maybe every single person did.
It would be very tense. It would be tense.
Yeah.
I certainly like Bridget, and I've been to Bridget rituals, but I've never been a devotee of hers.
Yeah. yeah.
You know,
as someone who Bridget is my patron.
Yeah.
Patron, like, that's something that should have been discussed before the ritual of, this is how the ritual is going to end. Do not feel obliged to participate yeah. in this part.
Yeah. I think there was that social pressure. And so just to be aware of that. Just to be aware of that going in, that, you know, you can say no.
Yeah.
You can
so
say no.
For the Grove, our Samhain ritual often has a devotion to the Grove, that we as a Grove read, like, our devotion to the Grove. But we all know that's coming. It's not...
Yeah, it's not a surprise.
It's not a surprise. Mm-hmm. I think most of us have it memorized.
I missed that one. I do not remember that.
Yeah.
You must not have been there.
You must not have been there.
I don't remember that one. If you get to a public ritual and perhaps it's like, oh, this is a lot of people. Oh, this looks intimidating. Maybe they have a lot of setup and everything. I have almost never been to put on anything ever, a public ritual. Very seldom was there not someone sitting outside the ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Say it's your first one or your second one. Maybe you're not quite sure. Maybe you're brand new and you're not even sure what circle and quarters and all that. Do not feel self-conscious to just sit and watch.
Yeah.
You're still part of the yeah. experience. You're still seeing, you know, you're seeing what's going on. You'll be there to socialize with people. You'll be able to ask all the questions you like later. Do not be nervous about just sitting out.
Yeah.
And with sitting out doesn't mean, oh, I don't like you. It just means, oh, I just would like to see what this is going, what's going on, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, how it is. Very seldom have I been to a ritual where one person wasn't sitting out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Just observing. Maybe they came with a friend. They weren't feeling quite this was their thing.
Well, how the public rituals used to be is that there was people asked to sit out to be guardians of the ritual. And those individuals yeah. were there to answer questions, deal with any potential police presence without interrupting the ritual itself. So that the ritual organizer could focus on the ritual, and these guardians were there to answer questions. And that's something I've always felt I really appreciated at large public rituals. Just somebody else kind of dealing with that,
taking
part
on
of
that role, yeah. Being exactly. responsible yeah. well, for that yeah. role. Yeah.
Yeah. We're so common now. Cops don't even come.
No.
It's really boring.
The newspapers don't even come.
I knew when the newspapers stopped showing up. Oh, okay. People are used to us now. Now almost nobody bats an eye.
Right. But, and now. So at the same time, while ritual consent is important, you have to understand that everybody has different beliefs. Everyone has different ways to do things. And because the way somebody does something makes you uncomfortable doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong. Now,
no.
This is a very specific kind of conversation. Animal sacrifice is going to be wrong. I don't think any of us here are going to be okay with that.
No. But, harm none.
Yeah, exactly. But if you invoke a patron or a god that maybe someone else doesn't agree with, that's okay. I'm not super comfortable with Loki, but somebody else is.
Did you just say his name?
Oh, I know. That's not his real name. You know that. But I'm not comfortable with that, but that doesn't make it wrong.
It's their thing.
It's their thing.
We know a dedicant of Loki's. Yep. Oh, God, I said his name.
You did, but it's not his name, so it's okay.
In a microphone. Yeah. In a piece of electronic equipment.
Yeah, it's recorded forever.
I can't believe I said his name out loud.
I'll have Krista beep it out.
Oh.
That'll just add a little extra spice. Yes.
I can't believe I did it, but we know someone who is a son of him.
Yeah.
So there we are.
But because somebody follows that path, it doesn't make it wrong, but it doesn't mean you have to participate in it.
Yeah.
And I mean, even something minor, I know the first couple of times I experienced this, because in the groups I work with, when we call the quarters, we call them in a certain order.
Yeah.
And when we release them, we also release them in that order.
Right.
Now, I have been to public rituals where they release them in the opposite order.
Yeah.
And that kind of freaked me out the first time. And then I realized there is a purpose for that. I do understand it.
See, it's funny you say that because that makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
No, that is the traditional way to do it.
You zip it one way and then you unzip it the other way.
Yeah. The way I look at that, and it is the traditional way is to do it in the opposite direction. I never personally do it in the opposite direction unless it has been a ritual for banishing or releasing or something. If I've got a spell burning in the middle, or I have something, an intention that is go forward and all that, I do not want to go in the opposite direction. I want that to keep working.
Right.
So that's my thought on it.
That's fair. But I know we've had this conversation before where there has been rituals where people invited a god or a goddess, and then somebody else invites another god or goddess that doesn't mesh with the first one. Am I talking?
I understand because I have done that.
Okay.
In rituals. And the reason.
And that can make people uncomfortable.
Well, I always preface it with everyone call their own god or goddess they want to work with for the weekend, say we're at a festival. And that may. Okay, so you don't like that. Maybe I won't do that in the opening ritual.
No, you do whatever you
but
want.
But the thing is, I always preface it is say, join me.
Yeah.
Join me to help me.
Yeah.
Don't say join us.
Yeah.
This is your personal god or goddess for yourself. I do that.
So one thing in ADF Druidry is there's a lot of different pantheons that Druids worship, but we often don't mix those pantheons.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
So if I was to invoke the Morrigan, I would not invoke Zeus. That wouldn't make any sense in our ritual sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I get
she
that.
Whip his butt. Yeah, that's
right. Kali, kick the devil's ass.
Then he would turn into a swan and be like, "I'm just a swan. You can't beat me up."
Yeah. No, but if you did wish to do that, because I do find that very nice, especially if you like working for a weekend, like the whole weekend, everyone invite their own god or goddess to them. Make sure it's join me here. Not join everybody, especially when you're going on a pagan, you're going on a ritual festival weekend. Most people come out of there with some kind of very profound experience or something that they find almost life-changing a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And if you can work very closely with a deity that have been working with in this situation, when you're in this magical setting, you're in the woods, you're so wide open and more, the more open you are in the correct place, the more experience and the more communication you can have with your deity.
Yeah.
So that's why I do like to do it.
Yeah.
But again, me.
Yes.
not us. Then again, you might be having a ritual to with using specific gods and goddesses. That's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get what you're saying too, though.
Yeah.
You know, Zeus might not like the Morgan might not get along that well. Well, there we are. And we're finishing up here. And remember, as we've been talking about, anything that makes you uncomfortable, or even if you just have questions about, don't be afraid to ask, come forward. Don't start screaming in the middle of a ritual, maybe.
Yeah.
But one thing I will say before we go is that if you're in the middle of a ritual and maybe you're not caring for the ritual, maybe you're overwhelmed, maybe you're not used to a large group, there is nothing wrong with just leaving and going and sitting on the side. Tap out at any time. There's no problem whatsoever with that. Don't feel self-conscious. Well, I mean, you might feel self-conscious, but don't feel bad.
You want to be safe. You want to feel
good.
The intent of the ritual is for your higher good. Mm-hmm. And if your higher good at that moment needs to sit on the side, that is perfectly okay.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And that also brings us into make sure you put up some personal protection. If you're with your working group you've been working with for years, okay, you can be open. But I always put up personal shields in a public ritual because you don't know who's there. You don't know what they're feeling. You don't know if there's a psychic vampire. You don't know whatever. So that last little bit. But again, go and feel comfortable. Well, thank you all for joining us for this this episode with Ritual Consent. If you have any questions or comments, you can certainly contact us on our Facebook page. I remember, keep it polite, please. We are very interested in suggestions that things people might like to hear. Things they'd like us to talk about. So, you know, send those along.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, beloved listeners and patrons of Three Witches and a Druid podcast. We would like to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude for your unwavering support of our podcast. With your encouragement, we have been able to explore and celebrate the rich and diverse world of paganism and spirituality. We feel blessed to have had the opportunity to share our knowledge and experiences with you. As we continue to grow and evolve, we invite you to join us on this journey and become a Patreon member of our podcast. Your contribution will help us to continue creating quality content and provide you with more exciting episodes filled with wisdom, insights, and a little enchantment. By becoming a Patreon member, you will not only support our mission, but you will also have access to exclusive content, behind-the-scenes goodies, discounts, and much, much more. Together, we can create a thriving and supportive community. To our amazing Patreons who have been there to support us through the past 3 seasons, Sybil, Josie, Catherine, Nicole, Amy Beth, Tomlin, Samantha, Stephanie, Chris, Ramos, Eric, Karen, Highland Horde, Danny, Tania, Sarah, Kay, Linda, and Jennifer. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being a part of our Three Witches and a Druid family. Let us continue to inspire and uplift each other, and may our collective energy bring light and love to the world.
So, and we'd like to thank everybody for listening. And until next time, merry meet.
Merry part.
And merry meet again.
Blessed be.
This has been Three Witches and a Druid podcast. Thanks for listening.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.